Well, I am going to be talking about a heavenly throne, but I'm going to be doing it in a different way. And as I like to say sometimes, it's been a while, but there is a message in my madness. So I'm a little more methodical than Brother Terry, but we're going to get there. So hold on, and I'll take you through it. So I do believe that today, peer pressure is definitely at an unprecedented level that most of us as adults have not had to deal with in our lifetime. This peer pressure is definitely focused at our children, teenagers, and young adults. It causes many of us to worry about our earthly throne, our earthly desires. And it puts our focus on being accepted by friends and contemporaries and co-workers, fellow students, and the list just continues to go on. But we must set aside our earthly throne to ensure that we surrender our will to a heavenly throne. Matthew 6, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Therefore, do not worry saying, for all these things, the pagans, they seek them. And we do not need to worry about those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have these needs. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the trouble is today. In verse 33, it said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is telling us to seek salvation. Jesus is urging us to do this because with it will come the full care and provision of God. In spiritual matters, we can fool ourselves to think that we are trusting when we truly are not. It's easy to say that we trust him in things that are a long way off. But let there be no trifling of small or tiny things, where faith must bring practical answers. It's easy to have faith for our needs and to trust him when the sun is shining. But let something come up that irritates us or troubles us, and we soon find out whether we have real trust or not. So things of the everyday life are a test of our real faith in God. And he often puts us where we have to trust in him for tangible things. If you are not trusting here wholly, when you are put into those trials, you will break down. So are you trusting God for everything through the week or just on Sundays? Are you looking to God's heavenly throne? Or are you worried about your earthly throne? Let's compare the differences by comparing Revelation chapter 4 and 1 Samuel chapter 24. Revelation chapter 4 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. If you want to know what those are, turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and start reading. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Now, in this short chapter of only 11 verses, the throne occurs 13 times, and 11 of those refers to God's throne. Now, this is to be seen as a symbol of sovereign rule and authority. Jasper, sardius, and emerald, they're precious stones. Sardius is a bright ruby red. Emerald is green, and jasper is a stone that comes in a variety of colors. These describe a multicolored rainbow, which is to remind us from the time of Noah and the sign of God's faithfulness to His word, His promises, and His covenant with Noah. The thunder described in verse 5 is not a fury of nature, but is a firestorm of righteous fury that is coming from an awesome, powerful God upon our sinful world. We are to try and keep mindful at all times of a heavenly throne and not an earthly throne, to remind us that God is in control at all times. Our wants and desires should be on our need for our Lord and Savior. In verse 10, the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne, which symbolizes the fact that they are aware that God alone is responsible for the rewards received. So they show us we are to divest ourselves of all honor and cast it at the feet of our King of Kings, just as we must have total surrender now. Now, we've looked now at the throne of heaven, where we must continue to be mindful and seek for all actions that point to Him. All these things concerning the future rest with God and come from Him through Jesus Christ. The vision John is seeing gives us an insight that life's sorrows and temptations are to be dwarfed by what awaits us in heaven. This is preparation for the conflict, failures, and persecutions that are and will unfold in our lives. This chapter is a witness that in all the changes and chances of the mortal life and in all variations of ups and downs of the church's history, God is the church's refuge. And therefore, the church will not be moved even though the earth be removed. And concerning keeping our focus on Thy will be done, we must look and concentrate with single-mindedness on the heavenly throne. When we worry about that next promotion, that pay raise, or other secular desires, we fix our attention on our earthly throne, and it takes our focus off the heavenly throne. You cannot serve two masters. Now, if you think you've seen this description of Revelation 4 before, well, it's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. The Old Testament once again gives us revelation we read about in the New Testament. Now, let us look at how we typically seek our own throne instead of God's throne in our lives. Through Saul in David's lives as Saul is once again seeking to kill David. Let us see how David shows us how to seek God's heavenly throne while Saul seeks his earthly throne. 1 Samuel 24. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of the En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all of Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Now David and his men were staying in the recesses of that cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him, because he had cut off a piece of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David rebuked his men with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, 'My lord the king.' And when Saul turned behind him and looked at David, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, and that I cut off a corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the Proverbs of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you." Now, think of your children, whether they're young kids, teenagers, young adults, or grown adults. They are surrounded by peer pressure all day, every day. Again, at school, playgrounds, or even at work. Think of Job when his friends were surrounding him with peer pressure, yet he never veered from his stance to remain in the Lord and remain steadfast that he did not sin against God. David is here standing on principle, the right thing. And it is true, especially today, that the right thing to do is not always the popular thing to do. And the popular thing to do is not always the right thing to do. But we must seek to always do the right thing, no matter how unpopular we are perceived by others. David seeks the throne of Revelation 4, not an earthly throne of selfishness. He seeks God's way. Let us not seek instant gratification. Rather, instead, let us surrender our will. And remember Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Let us remember, it is thy will be done, not my will be done. David heard many voices telling him what to do. The men of David were urging him to kill Saul. But David was conscience-stricken in his relationship with the others. And the fact that he had touched Saul's robe and cut a piece of it, David rebuked his men, reminding them that Saul is the Lord's anointed, and that judgment and removal of Saul had to be left to the Lord. There were about 400 men with David, men that had committed their lives to protect him. So talk about peer pressure. We must stand up against the crowd. We must instruct our children and grandchildren to stand up for what is right in God's sight. We can't just tell them once. We must seek to share God's word with them daily. David didn't kill Saul when it was easily within his opportunity to do so. So this teaches us how to show mercy and seek God's will. We must do this for ourselves and others who are falsely accused, even when the crowd shouts otherwise. The crowd shouted, "Crucify," against a guiltless Christ. We may stand alone upon God's word, but stand we must. And we must teach our children to do the same. Peer pressure is against them every minute of every day. But we must instill into them through daily scripture and prayer at home to remain focused on God's heavenly throne. David wrestled with the lies within Saul. Even though Saul was falsely accusing David, he stood strong with the Lord, and he showed Saul the piece of his robe, letting Saul know that he could have taken his life, and that that was proof that David was not Saul's enemy. David took comfort in the Lord's judgment. David left judgment to the Lord. Saul wanted to protect his throne on earth as well as his ego. And are we not like this many times? Our pride seeks our earthly throne. David wanted to protect the throne of heaven. And ultimately, our throne is not for us to protect. It is to be surrendered continually to God's throne. We are a rebellious sinner that should be getting on his knees, surrendering daily, which directs us how we need to be focused on Christ and not on ourselves. The Holy Spirit convicted Saul. David had finished speaking, and Saul lifted up his voice to David. "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt with me while I have dealt wickedly with you." So our work is to tell others of the gospel, but it is the Holy Spirit that will transform them. It may not always happen right away, and we may not see it when it happens. How many times have you been convicted after an argument or an encounter with someone where you later felt that you could have handled it better? In 1 Samuel, Saul admits to David that David did good to Saul, and the Lord had delivered Saul into his hands. And David did not impose his will, but God's will. Now, I do believe God was testing David, and David did not impose his will, but God's will. So I believe God, again, was testing David to ensure David's heart was fully with God. David proved himself by exercising his faith, which is what we need to emulate. He had a promise from God. Killing Saul would have been a sin. Sin is a thing which comes to startle us and to teach us to resist the temptations to carry them out. David shows us how to give good for evil to the one that was giving evil for good. As Christians, we are not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Even when men wrong us, God will right us in the final judgment day. We must see the difference here, that many people sigh their sins, but they do not truly repent of them. Here in 1 Samuel, we see that Saul was convinced of David's innocence, and yet Saul was not converted or repentant. He remained ashamed in his envy of David, in a selfish root of bitterness. Malice often seems dead in us when it is only sleeping, and it will revive itself. We must give praise to God when He has delivered us through our repentance and surrender, knowing that it is evidence of His love. We must always be seeking God's will, even if it doesn't benefit us, but our opponent. Here's a recent example. I read where a female high school student named Mimi Harris was playing volleyball in a tournament with her club team. When the final point came down to a bad call and her team had won, but Mimi knew that the ball actually fell in and not out. So she told the referee what had happened, and the referee reversed the call and her team lost. Now her team was over here celebrating joyfully, but when they saw the reversal, yeah, not happy campers. But she never regretted the decision she made to do the right thing. And eventually, her teammates supported her decision. Now, she was awarded a Better Business Bureau Ethics Scholarship and a volleyball scholarship to Alabama State. Now, we may never see a reward for standing faithfully on the truth of God's word and on God's throne, but we are to stand upon it nonetheless. God's timing, not ours. Again, thy will be done, not my will be done, which always, always reminds me of Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Saul acknowledged that David would surely be king and the kingdom would be established in David's hands. Today, our children and grandchildren face the attack of the crowds through cell phones, social media, texts, and other instant forms of attack against them. We must be more diligent in our leadership of them today because they face more than many of us had to endure before these cell phones and videos and internet. We had peer pressure from the world around us, but I truly believe our children and grandchildren are facing a fiercer group of Satan spawn of worldly followers than we ever had to. We must stand firm by refreshing and teaching our children God's word. It's not enough to drop them off for Sunday school once a week. We must put in as much time teaching them the word as the world does in attacking them. Now, my wife and I are close friends with the radio show host Delilah. I actually sit on her board for her nonprofit, Point Hope. Now, she has given birth to three children, has three stepchildren, as well as adopted several others. Last count, I think, 18 children total. My wife and I have visited her home several times. Even though she can afford anything in the world that she wants, she does not have a television in her home. She has a barn of animals on her property as well as a couple of small gardens that the children partake in caring for. No television at all. Now that's saying something right there of keeping the satanic world from being broadcast into the home. Now of course, there are still many ways for Satan to attack our families. But she and her husband Paul are showing real leadership. Now can you picture yourselves watching your children or grandchildren and choosing to remove the TV for good? I know many people that have stopped watching and listening to the news because of the lies and distortions. In addition to the peer pressure of our families today, We also have false churches leading way too many into the arms of Satan. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Now think about these words from the late pastor and theologian J. Vernon McGee, one of my favorites. His study, unfortunately, stated that today the hardest people to reach with the gospel are church members. Those who are in a church and have rejected Christ and God's word. Although they are in a church, they are actually against God. They have come to believe that being a Christian means to be nice boys and girls. They play at church. It is a game for them. They seek to be sweet and keep their noses clean. They live a life that on the surface is very sedate and comfortable. They don't want anyone coming in and telling them that they are lost sinners who need to be saved and obedient to God. So to be in ministry today, it's not easy if you are to stand for the Word of God. You have to love the Word of God before it will ever become meaningful to you. Another way I heard it said is, no one drifts into holiness. It is a pattern of life. Now, we understand the need for discipline and training. We know that in order to do anything well, we have to practice, practice, and practice. The same is true in our spiritual walk as well. Once we repent and surrender our lives, God's heavenly throne requires prayer, biblical study, and worship as disciplines. The earliest church founders knew that these were things we needed to make a priority and a focus for God's heavenly throne. In the same way, we set our alarms to go to the gym or on a run, or if you're me, stop and pick up coffee or breakfast. We must set time aside as a priority to practice our spiritual disciplines. Discipline and training are not negative words. All it means is that we have set it as a priority and have given it our focus. A deep spirituality is not created by accident or chance. It is developed through careful study and discipline. Set aside some time each day. Block out all distractions and train yourself and your children for godliness. All fathers and mothers, grandparents, aunts and uncles are needed in positions of biblical leadership for our children. As Christians, we must pick up the role of biblical leadership and train our children to understand we give up our earthly throne in order to focus on God's heavenly throne. This is the direction that our attention and leadership should be focused on each day. We must seek the throne set in heaven as revealed to us in John's vision in Revelation 4 versus the self-centered Saul of 1 Samuel 24. Let us stand strong in godly leadership as David did when the men or the world is trying to tell us that evil is good and good is evil. We must understand this, that whoever fights the hardest for the next generation will win. When we follow David's example, then you will understand that once you pick up the burden of Christian leadership, you can never put it down again as long as you live. Whether you are a new Christian or a lifelong Christian, we all must remain focused on God's heavenly throne. It's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only exercise on Sundays. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us be mindful. We cannot raise our children in the world that we grew up in, because it no longer exists. Let us be more diligent in fighting for our children together with you as our guide to put our faith in you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Pastor Terry and Debbie and Meredith are on a well-deserved and earned vacation. I can't remember the last time they've taken a vacation. But if this is your first time with us, welcome. And if it is your first time, please come back. You will not want to miss one of Brother Terry's sermons. So we welcome you. Hope you all are having a great day today. And we're going to go ahead and you ready for the kids? We'll release the kids for Sunday school. Any of the kids? While we're doing that, we'll look at the announcements. And I know next Sunday is graduation Sunday. I'll let Dallas talk about the Bibles up there. And then immediately after third service next Sunday is Harmony's picnic right here. So please make time for that. And then we also have tomorrow night women's Bible study at the cabin, starting a new study. So Miss Teresa will have books there for you. And then, of course, on Wednesdays we have the WOW group, Wednesday mornings. Tuesdays is the young adults at the cabin at 6:30. And I will let Dallas talk about the Bibles. Vacation Bible School, we have sign-ups, and sign-up online for children is open now. And, of course, we have sign-up lists for volunteers back there. Miss Deborah also wanted to remind that there is a list back there to sign up if you want to provide meals for those who are in need during different hospitalization stays and such. And, my concern for you, I did not sign up. You don't want my cooking. So that, you know,